This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, hour number two. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Tannenbaum going to join us here in a couple of minutes. But before we get to that, though, Bart, and I go, of course, we do have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, as well as the tweets at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. But we do have from Nick Caserio, the GM with the Texans, did speak this morning to the media. I know you make the same face I do. Great. In Houston.
Finally.
And, yeah, I mean, after Deshaun Watson has been through now over the last, so it's been at least a month, right, where all these lawsuits, now you got 22 women filing lawsuits alleging inappropriate behavior and sexual assault on the quarterback of the team, which before all this happened wanted out, and Caserio was saying, we're not doing anything, he's not going anywhere. And now, obviously, he might not play at all for the Texans because the league will certainly have to do something once this whole process plays out, if something does happen to Deshaun Watson. So Caserio spoke with the media, curious to hear what he had to say, because you know the obvious questions are, all right, what does the team think? What are you going to do? Where do you go forward now at quarterback, just in case? Here's Caserio.
I would say I really don't have any comment. I know Cal and ownership put a letter out a few weeks ago just relative to the organizational stance relative to where we are. So I don't have anything to add other than it's a legal process. We're respectful of the legal process and where that is. So we're focused on today. We're focused on getting ready for the offseason program and getting ready for the draft. So that's where our focus is.
Hi, Nick. There are obviously a lot of scenarios that could happen from Deshaun Watson sitting out to Deshaun Watson getting suspended. There could be a trial. How are you planning for those different scenarios, and what are your kind of contingency plans as you look ahead?
Yeah, we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities to continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Wow. I don't know how you joke about that, that Bitcoin comment, really in any context, and talking about this incredibly serious manner.
Yeah, I kind of completely agree there.
Yeah, like, understand the environment, what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, sexual assault with your number one employee.
Yeah.
The future of your franchise. And, like, I don't think it's any room for humor there at all. And, you know, he gave us a whole bunch.
I think
he
it was probably a nervous you know, joke that he was trying to make there.
The first
he was
year
trying
on the
to
job.
Be dismissive of the idea of speculating. What am I supposed to say here? You know, this is, we're not in the speculation business, but that was a bit of unnecessary sarcasm.
Yeah.
Now, that wasn't Hannah speaking directly to him. That was obviously a interview, and then we went back to SportsCenter, and that was Hannah speaking from the anchor's desk. But, I mean, he said nothing.
Yeah.
Not that you would expect he'd have anything to say, but he said nothing.
Well,
they can't really say anything because there's an ongoing investigation, but –
Yeah, the one thing that he did say, and I'll be interested to say, and listen, it has nothing to do with Deshaun Watson take, but he said we're getting ready for offseason workouts. As now you see the momentum over different teams deciding not to bring their players in for offseason workouts, but you know he's a new coach. He's a new general manager. Has a new coach. I wonder what the feeling is and the vibe is down in Texas, who's 100% open opposed to other places.
The state is open.
100%
right.
Open opposed to other teams that are deciding, hey, I'm going to protect my players and I'm not going to have them cooped up and isolated. I'm going to allow them to do whatever they're doing, where they're at, and allow them to work out there. And if they do contract it, they can't contaminate or infect any of their teammates. And I wonder, like, what's going to happen with that Dallas and Texas, because I think that's going to be a story as well. As we remember, when they had an outbreak, it was with those two teams last year. It was Houston and it was Dallas, you know, the Cowboys that kind of had, you know, that had a outbreak of COVID.
But you are reaching a point, if you're the Texans, that you're going to kind of have to start having a clear view of what you're going to do.
They're having internal
They're not going to make it public. I'm with you on that. But still, I mean, is Tyrod Taylor going to be the guy?
Yeah.
I mean, is that really that's the plan?
I mean, he has to be the guy. I mean, because as long as he
just in case, we don't know, because we don't know if this is an ongoing thing. You know, we don't know.
We don't know how long this is going
to
go.
How long it's going to play out. They eventually have to get eventually to the legal process here.
If it plays,
again, it's civil.
Yeah.
Although there has been, I believe the police department now is investigating.
Yeah, they're investigating
One of the claims.
So it's been what you got two. You probably got 2 months, a month, maybe a month before you have to have OTAs, and then you're going to have reporters have access to what's going on. And I wonder if reporters, because it's 100% open, so if it's 100% open, then I wonder are they going to allow reporters not to be there in Zoom, but be there in person to kind of watch practice and then have press conferences afterwards, because then that's when it gets
right.
hot. Because I'm worried about the head coach who's already had a mishap and how he handled it, certain questions and kind of being
right.
Yeah, but Cully's been boxed into a corner already when it came with who is he, we keeping Deshaun Watson, are we trading him? You know, so it's going to have to be a lot of media training. Oh, by the way, they fired the one of the most respected media relations.
Yes. She was one of the people in that story about how things have really changed in that organization.
Yeah.
That is certainly one of the stories, as somebody that had been with that organization for a long time and well-respected, well-liked.
They need her in the worst way. They need her right
executive.
Now in the worst way.
Yeah, no, and again, you could tell because what Nick said there was a whole lot of nothing, which is fine, but then a joke that just was poorly timed. And, again, I think it was more nervous energy where he just kind of said it in passing and was trying to make a joke without realizing this was no place to make a joke. But, look, this franchise is obviously in a tough place right now, but they have been. You know, this only just added to this put a large amount of drama onto a situation that was – already smoldering because of the issues that they believe was going on with that front office and the people that were leaving the organization, the problems that Watson had with the organization, J.J. Watt had with the organization,
Andrew
and
Hopkins.
Others certainly as well. And now all of a sudden Jack Easterby is not a name that we're talking about, where he was the prime main focus of what's going wrong there.
Right.
Now all of a sudden wait a minute,
you
maybe
think
Deshaun's the guy that has been, everybody knows this little, this dirty little secret about him that nobody wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And now we do.
We think David Blaine is a magician. Easterby, man, is like, poof. He threw the little ninja smoke and disappeared.
Poof. Maybe. But I'll tell you what, though, with now the season, you have a draft, but then you're also going to have to start getting into workouts and stuff. I mean, it's still a couple of months before you even start training camp, but
right.
you have no idea if you are going to have your starting quarterback or not, or even if you're going to have, if the league, if there is some type of punishment to hand down from
exemption.
The league.
Yep, put him on the
list. On the exempt list, right? Like, you don't know any of this. And Tyrod Taylor's your quarterback? That's what they got right now.
Yeah, hope you don't need another long shot.
Or the draft, or what they do in the draft.
Right.
If only they had that.
Right, they don't have the – well, first
only
of all –
they had that pick.
They're the coolest pickle in all of the – first day of the draft, they out golfing. Because they ain't picking nobody. They already had their draft 2 years ago. Laramie Tunsil, your first-round draft pick for 2 years.
Yeah,
how about that?
It is rough. All right, we've got – Mike Tannenbaum is going to join us here in a couple minutes. He's doing a hit for SportsCenter, and then he's going to join with us. So once they tell us he's here, we will get to him. But
why don't
we grab a couple more calls?
Yeah,
he is here? Oh, look at the timing. How great is that timing?
Look, Uncle TB is like
he's
like,
2 minutes early.
He's like Mr. Deeds. I'm very sneaky,
son.
I was here the whole time.
Right behind you. All right, so we'll bring in Mike Tannenbaum, who joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, how you doing?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Well, good. So I don't know if you happened to hear Nick Caserio at all and what the little bit that he said here, but I mean, you've been in that seat before. I don't know, you haven't been in the seat with a situation like this one in Houston, by the way, but there really isn't anything that a GM or a team executive can say right now about Deshaun Watson's situation, right?
Yeah. Guys, it's one of those situations where anytime you get into a league, or especially now, potentially a criminal investigations, and these are very serious allegations with potential victims, that there's really not much you can say about that. But what you can say is, hey, we got to go improve this football team. We weren't good enough last year. We have a rookie head coach, albeit an experienced one, and we have to go attack this offseason, do the best we can, and if and when Deshaun Watson's eligible to play, we'll deal with it.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if any Jets head coach had ever coached the Senior Bowl down in Alabama. But I think that, when I look at Mac Jones and why he's risen so fast, I think it's because he was able to be down there and he was able to audition while everybody else was done with football. He was able to go down there, talk to coaches, see him prepare, be able to show his football acumen. Am I off base by saying, hey, one of the best things that he did to put himself in the conversation was to play in the Senior Bowl, and should more people who aren't top 10 prospects play in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, Bart, it's a great point. And let's go back to two other quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert. They both had tremendous off seasons, and it helps because when you're sitting in that draft room and you're trying to figure out is it player A or player B, you're going to get the benefit from playing, and I think it's a really good point. He's created a lot of momentum, including the Senior Bowl performance.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. I don't know, maybe I made too much of it yesterday, but obviously it's been talked about more today is the comments from Trevor Lawrence that are in a Sports Illustrated story, and more about what his dad also said. As a talent evaluator, when you hear a quarterback, a young quarterback coming into the league who had great success in college, talk about how you know he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder, he's not driven about winning a Super Bowl, that he just isn't like that, he's not going to try to manufacture it. And then his dad comes out and he's just like, yeah, he could walk away from the game at any time. He doesn't really need this. Would that at least be for you a bit of a red flag?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I was very fortunate to be around Bart and some really good New York Jet teams. And you know, we were a talented team, but the other thing we had was we had great character. We had it on the field. We had it off the field. We had teammates that really care about one another. And what concerns me is, and when you talk to GMs around the league, there's a little bit of a sobering of an Andrew Luck effect of, look, Andrew Luck was a great player, had some injuries, and he walked away. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence is someone that's earned the right to have generational wealth. You know, just his endorsement deals will take care of that. And in the back of their mind, I'm not saying you're not going to draft him, but I thought those comments were a little bit, not alarming, but something to take note of. And he's a guy that obviously like has been above the fray for a long time and he's earned it. But I would certainly take note of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So like to either further your point, you know, when his dad said he's not going to win it or you know, win a Super Bowl at all costs. Like, I'm like, hold up, yeah. Man. We played this game from 8 years old for the opportunity to win a Super Bowl, and Ronnie Lott cut half his damn finger off so he can try and win a damn Super Bowl. And I got a quarterback and say, I got to go spend some time with my wife. That concerns me, and the fact that you said that he could maybe walk away if he reaches adversity. He's been the golden child his entire life. He's been the best guy at high school, best guy in college. And what my concern is, Mike, he's going to Jacksonville. This is going to be the first time he's going to face some real adversity. And I can't point to any part in his life where he stood up to adversity because everything's been all hunky-dory. He doesn't really have any calluses or scar tissue that I can say, man, if this guy gets hit, if this guy gets hurt a couple times,
what about
if he
the
has
championship?
Come back.
What about the
No. I'm talking about real drama. I'm talking about like something that happened in your childhood. I'm talking about on the field. You're playing for a team. He's been on the best player on the best team at every level that he's been at. I'm concerned with maybe him getting a couple knee injuries, maybe getting a concussion and saying, you know what, it's not worth all this. And now an organization has invested so much in him, and he walks away and leaves the organization just stuck.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. You know, something that I think is really germane to this conversation was something that Jimmy Johnson said 25 years ago when he was building those great Cowboy teams, guys. He talked about, I want guys with no parachutes, meaning they were going to make it in pro football where they had nothing. And really what Trevor Lawrence, and he's earned it, so I'm not taking it away from him, but he has a golden parachute. And at some point, as Bart well knows, you're going to hit bumps in the road as a GM, as a head coach, as a player. And those that are mentally tough are going to make it. And again, this would not be reason not to take him. I want to make that clear. But it is somewhat of a revealing comment. And I do think he's obviously been a great player with great character. I don't want to take anything away, but there is going to be a little bit of a doubt, which is, you know, 5 or 6 years from now, $100-$150 million later.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, can he come back from a, you know, second degree MCL and play in a playoff game? Those are the things that you just don't know. And I think as we see in sports now, will more players maybe retire like Andrew Luck while they still have meaningful years left?
It's Bart Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We're talking with Mike Tenenbaum on the Goodyear Hotline. So with that in mind about Trevor Lawrence, and you're right, it's not enough to make you say no, but it certainly is one of those things that, like, if I was working with his team and I was, like, doing their media for them, their PR for him, I would have been like, that is not what we're putting in the story. Like, that is not what you want out there. And there was a part of me that thought maybe this is your exit strategy. Of like, hey, we don't want to play in Jacksonville. Let's do some things to see if they don't want us, if they want to, you know, move on from us. But why else you would put something like that out before 2 weeks before a draft just doesn't make sense to me. But then there's Justin Fields on the other side of things. And here's a guy that's going to go into a second pro day because clearly, from what everybody's saying, there just isn't enough momentum behind people believing in him. What is it about him? Even though Vegas has him as the third quarterback, you know, as far as odds go, we know Vegas isn't making the pick in the draft. But what does it say, like, with all the whispers and what everybody's saying about Justin Fields, that he is somebody that would be going the opposite direction? He's tumbling down the board while others go up, are just moving right past him.
You know, look, I think Justin Fields, first of all, has great toughness. I was at his first practice at Ohio State. You know, he's also from a similar area in Georgia, went to University of Georgia, somehow was beaten out by Jacob Fromm, which still doesn't make any sense to me. And he got out of his comfort zone and went up to Columbus, Ohio, and he's obviously thrived. I think what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch did was smart and responsible. You know, a couple of years ago at Miami, we had the 11th pick. We didn't think Baker Mayfield would be there, but we went out and had a private workout with him because you just have to check every box. These decisions are just too important. And let's keep in mind, no pro days, no combines, or very few pro days. You want to be able to see as many players as possible. And I just think, you know, the tiebreaker for Fields is going to be when they look at the tape, they're going to look at a couple games where he struggled, Indiana, Northwestern, rugged Big Ten defenses. Those were not good games for him. And he's going to be a top 10 pick. I think he has a chance to have a really good career, but those are some of the tiebreakers that teams are going to be looking at.
Now, Uncle TB, if you're in Bill Belichick's shoes, understanding that you've heard the comments from Robert Kraft saying, hey, we have to identify the quarterback of the future, and you have a guy like Justin Fields that maybe slips, you know, what would it take for you to move up from 12, and where's that sweet spot that you think you may be able to go up to get him? And, you know, do you think they stay put, or do you think he goes up and says, you know what, this is going to be our guy for the next 15 years. We're not going to let him get by.
You know, Bart, I'm really looking forward to the intrigue of the draft and looking forward to, you know, covering it with you again on ESPN Radio. And to me, 8 is where this draft gets fascinating. I think it's fascinating at 4. What does Atlanta do? Do they take a quarterback? But 8 to me is the sweet spot. And here's why. Carolina recently acquired Sam Darnold. So I think 15-8 on draft night is going to be a lot less expensive than that San Francisco-Miami trade. And if Trey Lance, Justin Fields, one of those quarterbacks is there at 8, and I'm New England, and I can give up one first-round pick next year, I'm going to make that trade. And to me, there's going to be so much intrigue in 2 weeks, Bart. I can't wait to see what happens.
First of all, great plug. And then he uses can't wait at the very end. You see what he's doing there?
He's a master, man.
And it's very subtle. But you could tell.
And I know who I'm working with, so he knows what he's doing. I was like, stop, I'm just throwing it Malone. Finish it, baby.
Yeah, I definitely see that. Mike, before
I've been called a lot worse things in my life than Carl Malone, so thanks, Bart.
Before we let you go, Mike, let me just ask you about obviously the one that's closest to me, and that is the Jets pick at number 2. I mean, should I just go out and buy the Zach Wilson jersey now, or can you see them maybe, you know, pulling a fast one and actually coming up with someone else at number 2?
Well, Al, first of all, that's one of my concerns is you should have teed me up. You know, I had one other great line to ask you what you know was going to happen in Green Bay, and I would talk about how their offseason could be in jeopardy, but you didn't tee me up for that, unfortunately.
That was a really good line, too.
We'll go back to the Jets. I think Zach Wilson, in all seriousness, guys, has a chance to be really good. I scouted him in person in the Boca Raton Bowl. I like him. My only concern, and Bart, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, when you look at Zach Wilson, Alan, he is not a big man.
No.
And now we have to start talking about, and we all have to recalibrate ourselves, a 17-game season. Can he withstand the rigors of a 17-game season? And as a Jet fan, that would be my only concern. He's dynamic. He's a great athlete. Really good arm. Very accurate. But he's not a big man.
Yeah. And actually, and the other answer would have been, you should never buy a Jets jersey with a quarterback on it because you know it's not going to last that long anyway, right? Like, that's really how it always goes here.
Words.
It's Namath, and then you don't buy another jersey.
Words hurt.
Yeah.
Can you see them maybe making a trick? Because they have to identify the offensive line. You know, and for me, you know, and this is kind of like next level.
Trading out?
But no. They have the 23rd pick.
Oh, right?
Pick. I don't know if it's going to be a lineman that's ready to start day one that falls, maybe that can be right tackle, best center. You know, but, you know, for me, out there is still Orlando Brown Jr. You have tremendous cap space. You know, would you consider maybe taking that 23rd or even 34 and offering it to the Baltimore Ravens? What would it take for you to get a 23-year-old tackle, you know, that wants to be, you know, moved and wants to play left tackle? What type of value is that?
Bart, No, I think that's right. I think a high second. I think the only challenge you have as the Jets is, you know, you got Mekhi Becton, who looks like he'll be your left tackle for years to come. Mm-hmm. Orlando Brown Jr. is a good player. You know, if you could put him in on the right side, you know, that's a conversation you'd like to have. But they do have to fortify the lines. You know, last year they tried with, you know, George Fant and a couple of others, and it just didn't go great. They tried signing Khalil. You know, he was done. So they need to fortify their lines. And Bart, I think you're making a good point. Not only is it a draft, but is it a sign and trade? You know, they should be in the mode of scouring any opportunity to do that.
All right, I'll bite, Mike, before we let you go. Tell me about Green Bay and their offseason.
I think this Jeopardy thing is really interesting, and here's why. If you're sitting in a GMC, you can deal with a lot of things. Somebody want a new contract or their play time or their role. We just talked about Orlando Brown. When someone comes to you and says, hey, you know what? I can make more money not playing football, or I'm going to play football closer to the West Coast. My fiance is in acting, and I want to get to Las Vegas or somewhere closer. That's really hard to compete against. And if I'm Green Bay, you know, you made your bed last year. You traded up for Jordan Love. You gave up a fourth-round pick. And I think they put themselves in a tremendous bind, because I think Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, guys, has a lot of tread left on that tire. And this Jeopardy thing, I don't think it's by accident. And I think he's going to have some real compelling leverage to use when he's ready to use it with Green Bay.
Yeah, that will be something to watch. There's no doubt about it. And certainly will he be the answer to their question about their future at quarterback. Mike, have a great weekend. Great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, you got it. Mike Tannenbaum giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, so coming up, we have audio files. We certainly have your calls as well. And Bart now has this from Zip Recruiter.
The football offseason is always wild. With all the trades, free agent signings, new coaches, hires, teams have to be excited about the upcoming season. If you want to hire people that you are really excited about, then team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matchmaking technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter gets a qualified candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive website, ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter/Bart. More of your calls in audio files after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, Bart, you know this? They're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Isn't that great?
I had to come all the way here to hear that.
Yeah.
I got Progressive.
Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive, a big part of our studio here, as you can see. We love it here.
We love Progressive.
Right?
I wonder if
it's part of our logo. And everybody on Twitter, by the way, has been telling us they want merch. So if you're listening at ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio, or just overall the mothership ESPN, people want their merch. They want their Bart and Hahn merch. They love the colors. You guys did such a great job with all the imaging and the creative stuff that you've done for the show, that it's just become a thing now. It's become like this
it's like a viral
cult following.
Not Jim Jones cult, but...
Well, no. It's just more people like really into it. That people just want stuff. And Bart and I are already talking about how we're just going to get like a whole bag of like T-shirts,
yeah.
Go outside of like Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden, Barclays Center, and just start selling shirts like on the side of the street.
Get your shirts here.
Yeah. Yeah, $10, $10. Somebody's like, well, I only got $5. All right, $5.
All right, $5.
That's good.
Here.
Or we yell like, You know, it's like they're $5, and like somebody comes over, you're like, no, this one's 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is that one 10? Because I touched it.
Exactly. Like, I only got $5. Let me tear your sleeves off. There you go. Yeah, that's a $5 t-shirt right there, bro.
So if you want your merch, you can at Barton Hahn, but also at ESPN Radio and at ESPN and hashtag ESPN Plus and let them know you want some merch because you know this stuff is fly, man. I mean, look at it. The colors, it's nice.
We ain't even put wax to it. We can put it hoodies. Summer hoodies, mm-hmm. kangaroo pocket hoodies, mm-hmm. zip-up hoodies, mm-hmm. hoodies. You know what I'm saying?
You went old Forrest Gump right there for a minute. The whole shrimp thing. I was waiting to see how far you'd go with it.
Make it, bro. It's all tight.
hoodies. When you went hoodies, I knew you ran out of material.
I was out. All right,
so with that in mind, this part of the show is where we stop talking about the headlines and we let the headline makers do it. They do the talking, and we call that audio files. And by the way, Audiophile is not sponsored. So anybody out there that likes Audiophiles and wants to put their name to it.
What up, Dre?
Let us know. It should be like Bose.
Yeah, Bose. I mean, we talk a lot of football here. You know what I'm saying? Right? You talk a lot about round ball. You know what I'm saying? Beats and Bose. You know what I'm saying? Let's do it.
I mean, who else? We got JBL. You want to get on board?
Anything with a B in it.
Right. If you have a B in it and you make headphones, you should be part of Audiophile.
Burger King? Oh, no.
Nah, it doesn't work. Burger King, they don't make headphones. Unless they put them in like McDonald's puts them in a Happy Meal. And maybe we'll do that.
Two all beef patties.
Meanwhile, let's begin. So the New England Patriots, as we know, had a big offseason spending spree in free agency. Spent a lot of money as they're trying to recover, rebuild, and get back to being that franchise we thought they were or always knew they were until Tom Brady left. And now we're like, well, maybe it was all Tom Brady. Maybe it was just talent, and they needed more talent. So they went out and spent the money to get said talent. So Bill Belichick had this reaction to the work they've done so far in the offseason.
The process this offseason was to, as it always is, to try and improve the team and to try to do everything we can to make ourselves as competitive as we can this year, which is what we try to do every year. So we had several years in free agency where we were, one of the least cash spending teams in the league. And then this year that changed and balanced it off. And so that's really what you have in the NFL, teams that don't spend and spend, teams that spend and their years and they don't spend. So it averages out over a period of time. And that's part of the averaging process came this year. But ultimately, we're trying to, again, do what we can to improve the team like we always do every year. And that's what we're going to continue to do as we work through the draft process and other team building opportunities that may or may not come along during the season, but I'm sure there'll be others somewhere along the line, and we'll evaluate those when they present themselves.
Boy, let's be honest. Usually you get cap space and high draft picks when you suck.
Yeah.
They haven't sucked for 20 years.
Right.
They suck now, and so they cut people and moved on from contracts and don't have an expensive quarterback.
Yeah.
So now they have cap space and they're spending accordingly. They also will have a top 15 pick.
Exactly.
And we'll see what they do with that pick. But this offseason is a reflection of how bad they were last year.
But they've been lucky.
Mediocre.
They've been lucky, right? So they had Patrick Chung. He decided to retire. And then you look at a guy like Van Noy who just got paid all this money and Miami flipped the bill and decided it didn't work out. And he can play. No, it was like the Patriots have people who can only play in New England.
Right. They go everywhere else.
They fail.
Yeah.
So they run back with their tail between their legs. Like, I'm sorry, I tried to go somewhere. And this is coaches included. Come back. Like, I'm sorry. Not Bill, like, I told you, come on back. You ain't ready. Come back. Come back to daddy. Every time you're trying to leave me and come on back.
That is true. So we'll see how it works out this year for them. But there's still more work to be done. And that includes the draft we just told you about. With the pick at number 15, that a lot of speculation is, would they move, would they trade up if they can get the player they want? And would they make a move for a quarterback? If they take a quarterback in the first round, it'll be the first time in Belichick's era that they will have done that. And here's Bill on the idea of maybe moving up in the draft.
You know, at 15, I think we could eliminate a few players that won't be at 15. And then you could look at a couple scenarios and say, well, if these three players are there, which one would we take? If these other three different players are there, which one would you take? You know, you go through that exercise and talk about that. I would say normally something will happen and there could very well be a player there that either you don't expect to be there or maybe he is a couple spots, maybe at 12, 13, he's still on the board and you really thought that he'd be gone in the top 6, 7 picks. you know, then the question comes, you know, do you move up and try to get that player that's fallen a little bit?
You think they move up, Art, and you think they go quarterback in the first round?
They have to, right? Because they filled so many holes in free agency. I mean, they improved the offensive line, check. Tight end, check. Receiver, check. Right? They bring back the defense. You know, pass rusher in Van Noy, check. Dante Hightower coming back, check. You still have McCourty on the outside, I mean, at safety, check. They still have Stephon Gilmore, check. So, like, at what point the most glaring need you have that you can fill immediately is going to get the quarterback of the future that may, if Cam Newton struggles like he did in the second half of the season last year, start skipping balls with all this talent around him. It wasn't just that he, you know, had bad receivers. When they were open, he couldn't get them the ball. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, you go get the quarterback of the future. And if it is a guy like Fields, now if it's Trey Lance, it's maybe something different. Maybe Cam gets a whole year. But if it's a guy like Fields who you think, you know, in the middle of the season can be ready to go and be ready to lead your team, you know, or he can step up like Herbert
and that
did.
Would be Fields.
That's more than enough.
Yeah, Fields sitting at, you know, 10, 11, 12, something like that is where you'd probably
try to make Tannenbaum said if you see him at 8 and you say, okay, well, let me call Carolina, because guess what? They'll drop to 12 or they'll drop back 15. You know, to 15 because their player's still there as well, and I go up and get a quarterback because they're not trying to take a quarterback.
Mm. I also look at Belichick and the Patriots as an organization that would be the one that would move up, not take a quarterback, but to take the guy that's the position player that is so good that everybody else is ignoring. Yeah.
But that only works. That only works if you have number 12. You don't have number 12. Mm. And the marching orders was find me the quarterback of the future.
He just turned 60. By the way, it's his birthday today. He just turned 69 years old, right? Bill Belichick, happy birthday.
Right, so how much longer is he
going
to go?
That's my point. You're going to draft a kid who might not be the starter as your coach. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like,
that's why
I know Marv Levy said, keep coaching,
that's
you know,
why
Bill.
I think Fields or Jones, whoever falls, whoever doesn't get picked at 3 and continues to fall, you know Josh McDaniels.
I think he's trying to win now.
You know, Josh, that's what I'm saying.
Give me a player that can plug in now, not a guy I got to wait
but
on.
But you can win with Fields right now with all the talent that they put around, because all they got to do is run the ball. They got two great tight ends and two good receivers on the outside. But I tell you what, Josh McDaniels is sitting at the birthday party singing happy birthday to Bill Belichick, like, happy birthday to you.
Still
when
waiting.
You gonna give me your
still
damn
waiting.
World? You 69 right. damn years old. You still ain't gave me your world. What are you doing?
That's so
I turned
true.
Down a head coaching job for Indianapolis for you, and I've been sitting here 3 years later. What's
all
up?
Right. All right, all the captains are just sitting around just waiting for the
happy
chance.
Happy birthday, homie. Happy birthday,
all right, let's
homie.
Finish up. This is Barton on ESPN Radio. Brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. One more item on audiophiles, and that is in the NBA. So Joel Embiid's been back with the Sixers. He's played six of the last seven games since he returned from that injury, which we thought could have been season-ending. And Joel Embiid believes that he's still, even though everyone else is telling you that Nikola Jokic is the lead dog now for MVP, Embiid is saying, and this is from from Zach Lowe's podcast, The Low Post, that he should be the guy.
First seed in the East, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. And we're not just talking about the offensive side of the basketball game. We're talking about, you know, the defensive side of the game, which is if you actually go through, you know, all the numbers and stuff, some could say I could be deserving of, you know, being the defensive player of the year. So when you add, you know, both of them as far as, you know, the offensive side of the game and the defensive part of it, and you mix it in with being the number one seed, I don't know what more could you ask.
You could say that because of where they are as the top seed in the East. However, all right, so the whole season he's averaging 29.8 points a game, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Very good for a big man. 52% field goal, 39 from 3, and he's taking a couple of threes a game. It's not like he's not shooting threes, and 85% from the line. Those all sound good. However, since the injury, 6 games back, still averaging 29 a game, but only 9 rebounds a game, under 2 assists per game. His shooting percentages, by the way, 47, 26, 83. So you're seeing that he's not quite where he was before the injury, but he's still scoring 29 a game, so that's a big deal. I think being the top seed's important, and now we got to watch Jokic and the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, because if they start to fall off, I take it away.
Yeah, I mean, now you saw the Knicks decided to defend him, or the Nets, you know, in the second half. They started running doubles at him and blitzing him off the spot. So now it's going to get a little bit more difficult. Everybody understands how dominant he is. And, like, he is one of he's the most unique offensive player in this game, because he can beat you inside, outside, he can dribble a little bit, and he has that mid-range game, much like Jokic, but Jokic don't have the consistent – but they both shoot the three well. I mean, this is tough, man, but I guess
Jokic is a better playmaker passer. Right, he's more important to the team, but like I said – team success, to me, does matter in this award. And so I think with Embiid, as long as they stay number one, that would be the obvious way to go. Which is funny, though. He brings up defense, and he thinks he can be Defensive Player of the Year. Guess who else thinks he can be Defensive Player of the Year? Ben Simmons, his own teammate. So the two of them are talking that way. But, you know, obviously for this year, because of all the injuries you're seeing, Joel Embiid should be the lead dog. But, of course, the writers will love Jokic. And so it's right now that seems to be the guy. All right, that's Audio Files. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As we take you into the weekend, we do so with a full buffet. We take your calls. You control the show next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Hi, my name is what?
Max Kellerman.
I usually get that.
I didn't know Max was a rapper, son.
Oh, you got to look. Yeah.
Got his head all shaved off. You know what I'm saying? Looking like Cheddar Bob, you know what I mean?
Looked like Cheddar Bob. But he had good flow, though. Real good flow back in the 90s.
I see why he grow hair now. Them corners of that head, man, look like Pinky in the Brain, man.
What is that?
I think it's like a.
We're presented by Progressive
Insurance.
Guests on the Barton Hunt Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed any portion of the show, including our conversation with Mike Tannenbaum, you can always find both hours of Barton Hunt posted daily as a podcast. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch back our show on ESPN Plus. Just go to ESPNplus.com and get it. Trust me, you like it. It's fun. It's good. You get to see us.
Damn,
in our studio.
This our last segment.
Yes, it is. NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday. Knicks. Pelicans, more Knicks on National. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. You might catch me on the pregame show. Just saying. Little birdie told me. I might be there.
You got a clip-on tie?
Clip-on tie? Never. Always a Windsor. What about you? What are you doing this
year? Double Windsor?
Unfortunately, guys, we're not going to be able to get the calls. I'm sorry. We're running out of time. So Bart and I are just going to waste time by talking about ties.
We apologize, man. Yeah, I'm a double Windsor. My neck used to be too
full
long.
Windsor.
My neck,
full
yeah, my Windsor. Neck used to be too big. It's like too much.
Well, you do the split collar too, right? So the knot.
Yeah, you got to
nice
do a wide. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you'd look funny with a skinny tie and like one of the narrow collars.
I'm going to James Bond one, man. You know what I mean? My neck used to be 24 inches. Now it's like 20. 19.
I've always wanted to do that, just straight up on, like, white shirt, black straight, skinny tie, just black suit, but it always looks like I'm, like, you know, in Pulp Fiction.
Well, we'll try the John Wick suit, you know, bulletproof.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes I feel like I need that.
Hot fire.
Yeah. Have a good weekend, everybody. And, Bart, I will see you on Monday. Knicks Mavs tonight, baby, ESPN.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.